Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Pope Benedict arrived in the U.S. at Andrews Air Force Base about 2 hours ago.
I'm Dan Raviv. Dressed all in white except for the Pope's traditional red shoes, he smiled broadly and waved at invited guests standing outdoors at Andrews Air Force Base. Some of them sang, showing they know that tomorrow is Benedict's 81st birthday. He's believed to be resting this evening and meeting church officials. Tomorrow morning he'll be at the White House. Then in the evening he'll be with 350 bishops at the Roman Catholic Basilica of the National Shrine. He's chosen not to attend a White House dinner that's officially in his honor. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
The biggest issue the Pope might have tried to avoid, he tackled on his way across the pond, the issue of pedophile priests and the scandal in the church in America.
We are deeply ashamed, and we will do all the possible that this cannot happen in future.
He said he was deeply ashamed, and it cannot happen again. Oil is one of the big reasons inflation is going up. Wholesale prices up a full point last month. Same story in the previous 2 months. Economists are saying things are getting really complicated now with the economy slowing, but inflation speeding. So why did oil prices spike more than $2 today to a new record of nearly $214? Good question, no good answer. According to the analysts, beyond small details, of course, that give speculators the pretext.
I have a feeling that if I were to throw a half a can of Quaker State after filling up my car engine, that the market would react.
And that's an oil analyst talking, Peter Butel. Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter's Hodgkin's disease is back, but his doctors say they fully expect another success story, pushing it back to full remission again. He'll start treatment soon. Specter's office says he's moving forward with his reelection campaign. A new investigation document claims the Vioxx scare could have been avoided.
An internal Merck document shows that in 2001, the company discovered during a study of older patients that Vioxx creates a threefold increase in death. Merck did not reveal that. In fact, 3 years later, it claimed the painkiller was, quote, generally well tolerated by the elderly. This document, part of an investigation led by University of Washington researcher Bruce Pasady in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
If these findings had been made public, many fewer people would have taken Vioxx. Many fewer people would have been harmed.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The thief had hit the jackpot. He'd broken into a home and stolen a valuable coin collection worth about $80,000. Police in Germany say he took it to his bank to tuck it away in a safe deposit box. He didn't know the bank worker who helped him set up the bank box was the burglary victim, who of course recognized his own coin collection and quietly called for the cops. On Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 60 points today. The Nasdaq was up about 10. This is CBS News.
Today's most fuel-efficient mid-size cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras. Hold
no, wait,
your applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem
cover? Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires.
Oh.
Ah, I know your tires inside and out. Mostly out.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special offer.
Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Tomorrow is the anniversary of the massacre at Virginia Tech in which Sungjo Wee shot and killed 32 people. What's it like there on campus? CBS's Chip Reed has been walking around today.
There will be a ceremony where the names of all of the victims will be read. It is a very solemn mood here on campus, although you do see a lot of people on campus going about their business, studying, playing sports, and just doing their best to be college students.
A professor at Miami University in Ohio says he came up with a way to mark the anniversary and to raise awareness about violence committed by men. The professor suggests at his university the men wear blood-red nail polish for the day. Quick quiz for the environmentally conscious. The number one carbon polluter in the world today is not the United States, China has moved to the front, according to the Journal of Environment, Economics, and Management. An unchecked growth there, they say, will make any reduction in greenhouse gas emissions a moot effort. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Have you ever wanted to own a Mercedes-Benz but felt that it was out of reach? Well, you're in luck, because right now Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned event with special financing on a wide selection of exceptional pre-owned vehicles like the Agile C-Class, the legendary E-Class, the sturdy M-Class, and the spacious R-Class. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance.
Like everyone, I have a medical history, but unlike most people's, mine is always working for me.
Aetna's personal health record provides our members with secure, anytime access to their medical histories. It automatically scans test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions, and compares them to the latest medical findings.
It alerted me to important information I shared with my doctors.
We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. The Aetna personal health record should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's health conditions or medical treatments. Available information on test diagnoses and prescriptions may vary by member.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
3, 4, 1, 2.
So, are you in compliance, my friend?
Let me tell you how it will be.
It is the 15th of April. Pay your taxes or else.
There's one for you, 19 for me. I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
I talked to my brother Tom B. Collins this morning. He was struggling downloading forms and trying to get it in the mail tonight. And I hope you've succeeded, and I hope they owe you money.
Take it.
Uncharacteristically, I filed 1 week ago. I think it's the first time in 20 years I've been early. On today's program, we lead off with James Ridgway, the investigative journalist. He's got a doozy of a story about dumpster diving in the dumpsters of environmental groups and other lefty organizations. Jason Leopold joins us later this hour, the investigative reporter who's been following torture policy. And it turns out the White House was torture central. The key committee of the National Security Advisors and the Vice President and the President himself now acknowledge that they approve the enhanced interrogation techniques. Jason will detail that for us a little bit later this hour. And next hour, we'll be joined by Phil Donahue. Everybody knows Phil from his daytime TV show. He also had a nighttime TV show a few years back on MSNBC where he was judged too liberal to be on during a war, and they bounced him. And Phil doesn't take that kind of rejection. Well, he doesn't take it. And he has co-produced with Ellen Spiro a powerful new film called Body of War. You may know about this. It features Thomas Young, an Iraq veteran who went there to fight for our country and was injured on, I believe, his fifth day of duty in Iraq. And he will spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. The film is powerful, if not a little grisly. And we'll get the details from all three, including the subject, Thomas Young, coming up next hour. In our free speech zone, we'll talk about your tax problems. I might be able to help you. I don't know. We'll talk about where that money goes. And also in the free speech zone today, Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector who also served in the United States military, along with former U.S. attorney Elizabeth De La Vega, will be with us to talk about a variety of issues, including trying to prevent a war with Iran. So that's all ahead, including your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Our program is sponsored by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's powerful new book, Bad Moon Rising. It's all about Reverend Moon and the Washington Times propaganda sheet. Visit thekingofamerica.com and check out the video there, thekingofamerica.com. James Ridgway is a Washington-based journalist who writes for Mother Jones Magazine. Jim, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Doing great today. This is quite a story.
Well, I guess so.
Oh, there goes that modesty kicking in again. I love the headline that they assigned to it, too. You may not have written this, but cops and former Secret Service agents ran black ops on green groups. And it's important to note that this goes back to the 1990s. So much of this surveillance was done by former Secret Service agents, former CIA agents working for a company called Beckett Brown International, which no longer exists. How did you first get a line on this company and their activities, Jim?
Well, there was a friend of mine from a nonprofit group in Minneapolis, which was involved in fighting genetically engineered food. He called me up and told me a little bit about this and said that they tried to get other people interested and nobody was interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, well, I'd like to meet the principals, people who were telling him all these different things. So then it went back and forth and back and forth for a long time, and the main guy, John Dodd, his name was,
mm-hmm.
Was very hidden. He wouldn't come forward. So then eventually, for some reason, he changed his mind and he came forward. He's down on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, so I drove down there a couple of times. And he had all these boxes, these cardboard boxes, stashed in a storage facility, a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how did they get there? I mean, what is this? Well, he had been the principal investor in this company, this detective company.
Mm-hmm.
And he had met this guy in a bar down in Eastern Maryland. This guy, John Dodd's father, was an Anheuser-Busch distributor down in those parts, which is now, sort of like a playground for the idle rich. Cheney and
Rumsfeld have homes with no-fly zones there.
Absolutely.
I mean, it used to be that a home with a pool was, really elaborate and lavish. But to have your own home with its own no-fly zone, that's
right.
Really living.
And they're just one of many. Anyhow, so his father sold the beer business out, and he and his siblings stood to make some money out of it. So he was in his bar, sort of hanging around, and this guy came up to him and introduced himself. His name was Beckett. And he saw this guy Beckett several more times in a bar around the area. And then Beckett said he wanted to introduce him to some friend of his he thought he'd find interesting. So it was this Secret Service guy. And the Secret Service guy said, well, he had this really terrific idea for a company. And he was going to set it all up with all these former Secret Service agents. And they were going to get jobs doing things like protecting the presidential inaugural. And they had the idea that they could protect Steve Forbes, who was then running for president.
So these guys kind of had Blackwater fantasies.
Yeah. Actually.
Jim, did we lose you? Oh, Brian, let's see if we can get him back. Maybe. I don't want to get a conspiracy theory or getting paranoid going here, but I don't think he was going to get to something that the NSA didn't want us to hear. We're talking with Jim Ridgway. MotherJones.com is where you can read this detailed article. And it's fascinating because, yes, this was an outfit that didn't get as far as Blackwater and didn't get some of the cushy contracts. But in the meantime, they dove into dumpsters and did a lot of snooping against the Environmental Media Services, Center for Food Safety, National Environmental Trust, Environmental Working Group, U.S. Public Interest Research Group, Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, Greenpeace, and many others. And this company, Beckett Brown International, about the year 2000, changed their name to S2I. And in this article, it's fascinating what Ridgway has been able to detail. Beckett Brown had clients like Philip Morris, Mary Kay Cosmetics, Browning Ferris Industries, And Nichols Desenhall, a Washington-based firm. So it's a very interesting range of subjects who were surveilled and in some cases had their facilities spied on or photographed. And the amount of dumpster diving that goes on here is is kind of a new record. And as you point out in the article, and you base this on a memo that you got from Beckett Brown International, or maybe you went into their trash, I don't know, Jim, but it said they had some legal issues about whether it's actually okay to go into dumpsters that are on private property. Because when I take my trash can to the curb, I think the law is pretty established that I give up control of it at that point. And somebody else could drive by with a pickup, take my trash, and find out just how much Ben and Jerry's I consume. But what's interesting here is that they knew about legal issues. And, Jim, am I right that if a dumpster's on private property, I can't just drive up and empty it?
Well, that's what their own guy said, their own lawyer. He said that they have to watch out. There are a lot of issues here, including, you know, breaking trespass laws. A lot of these dumpsters are locked up. So they were trying to use an active duty policeman, and they were trying to use the shield, as they put it, to get themselves in, to get this trash and maybe other things too. And they said if they couldn't use the shield, then they had to figure out some other way of persuading your friendly trashman, I think they referred to him, because they were obviously paid off, to give him some trash. So, yeah, they couldn't just pick this trash out. They had to go inside, you know, the premises
mm-hmm.
of the building and get it. And then, you know, they get all screwed up because it would say, well, we got into such and such a place and it looked really good, but there was nothing from the fifth floor. The fifth floor was the place they were looking for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a daunting job, you might put it.
And here's a list from an internal memo there at BBI. September 26, a former Secret Service agent sent an email to Tim Ward, a former Maryland state trooper, and he listed the Center for Food Safety in Washington, the Friends of the Earth on Vermont Avenue, GE Food Alert, that's for genetic modified foods, genetically engineered foods, and then it has some details about each building. Number 3 is doable, but behind locked iron gates at rear of building. So they were casing these joints, and all of these appear to be lefty environmental groups. And what do you see as the big picture here, Jim? This is the 1990s for the most part. The Clinton administration is holding forth. And why is it that corporate America was retaining a spook firm like this to examine the trash of lefty organizations?
Well, part of it was, you know, global warming. But the thing that really got them going, I think, in this case was that Kraft Foods, which owns Taco Bell, was selling tacos, which, as the detectives put it, glowed in the dark. In other words, these tacos were made of genetically engineered corn, which, you know, there was something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so and somebody had told these environmental groups what was up, and they were going to hold a press conference and, you know, blow the stuff on them. So they wanted to find out who was doing the leaking and what was going on, and that's what really got them going, I think, after especially energized,
mm-hmm.
trying to find out, you know, the glow-in-the-dark tacos.
Yeah, James Ridgway with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Read his story at motherjones.com. As we continue, we'll ask him about the scene where a guy dressed in black invites his date along, urges her to dress entirely in black, then leaves her in the car as he goes to dive into a dumpster and comes back with a couple of Glad bags. Or were they hefty bags? I'm not sure. We'll continue in just a moment. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, M.I.B., means what you think you saw, you did not see. Put on baby, what was dead is now going black, with the black Ray Bans on, walk a shadow.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with James Ridgway from the Washington Bureau of Mother Jones Magazine. And in the segment of the article entitled, It Was Mission Impossible-like, here's an inspired reading. Greenpeace was its target of one of BBI's more elaborate and cinematic intelligence gathering efforts, according to company documents. Jennifer Trapnell, who was dating Ward, one of the agents in late 1990s, recalls an evening when she accompanied him on a job in Washington, D.C. He said they were trying to get some stuff on Greenpeace, she says. Ward wore black clothes and told her to dress all in black, too. It was Mission Impossible-like, she said. Jim Ridgway, what the hell were they up to?
Well, I think they wanted to impress her, maybe.
Yeah.
The guy took her in his truck, and they went to Washington. They drove to Washington from Maryland, and they parked in an alley, and the guy got out, and he said, stay in the truck and watch what's going on. And, a lookout, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he got out, and he met some other guys, and they started talking to each other on walkie-talkies. It was kind of weird, because these alleys, it's not like talking over great distances or something.
Mm-hmm.
But so, and then they sort of disappeared into the dark, and they eventually emerged with a couple of trash bags.
Well, I mean, this is amusing on one level, but it shows that there is, or at least there was, a business for security firms who snoop on lefty activist groups. And their clients have to be big corporations. And one has to raise the question about whether we've, you know, created kind of parallel armies or these paramilitaries that work exclusively for corporations. This is a kind of creeping fascism, if that's the case.
Right. Well, see, the bottom line here is that everybody's trying to show that the environmental organizations, or at least some of them, are terrorist organizations. So you kind of like inch up into that situation, and various people try to pin that on Greenpeace, and Greenpeace is not a terrorist organization. But anyway, none of them are terrorist organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's going on. So they want to make them look like they've got to collect stuff on them, and they've got dirty stuff going on, and so forth. Because, and that's the aim of the whole business, is to make them look as if they were terrorist organizations plotting, you know, to do something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the process, they go in and they get, in the case of Greenpeace and in the case of a couple other places, they take out lists of all the staff members with all their social security numbers, sometimes their credit card numbers. I saw one guy's personal bank account, which is, I mean, I found it in the files of this storage unit, which was in a paper cardboard box
mm-hmm.
full of junk that had been taken out of out of a Greenpeace office. Now, maybe it was taken from the trash can, but this one I kind of doubt. I think it was taken from the guy's desk, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a PR guy who represented the environmental groups. They had done a background check on him and his wife. They'd done their tax assessments. And they had their cars, all the license plates of all their cars. And they had photographs of their house,
mm-hmm.
straight-on photographs, side photographs. Photographs of the road in front to show the traffic patterns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a MapQuest document right behind it, which showed exactly how to get from the headquarters of the detective company to the guy's house. So, you know, I guess they were going to a party.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you name a couple of names in the article that are familiar to me. Phil Giraldi, a former CIA officer, was on the payroll for a while. He left in 1999. And you quote him as saying, "We'd go to a company like Enron, see if they had any issues. They were looking to acquire a company. See if that company is connected to the Russian mob. That's what we were selling. We were not very successful." And Giraldi I spoke to about 6 weeks ago because he has written an article about Sybil Edmonds and some of her charges against the FBI and the government that she has attempted to blow the whistle on. So that was kind of interesting. And then Vincent Canestraro, who's a former chief of the CIA's Counterterrorism Center, you report he was briefly involved with this firm. They paid him about $75,000, and he gave the advice not to take a $1 million job with the Church of Scientology, and they took that advice. That's interesting.
Well, that's what they say in the records. I mean, that's what Dodd, the investor, says. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He says that Canestraro said not to do that. And he says that Canestraro suggested instead that they take a look at Walmart's in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they were doing there.
Yeah.
But well, the whole thing is that I think these things are, on the one hand, you know, they do work for the corporate stuff, but they mm-hmm. also are sort of like, they're sort of like holding pens for former agents.
Right. Yeah, it does create that paramilitary scene that they're available for hire. Well, I want to thank you for this article, Jim. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
James Ridgway, MotherJones.com is where you can read this article called "Cops and Former Secret Service Agents Ran Black Ops on Green Groups." Jason Leopold joins us next to talk about Terror Central, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, where the torture was approved.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the National Pest Management Association and by Tylenol PM Rapid Release Gels. They combine the fast pain relief of Tylenol with a sleep aid that, when used as directed, is non-habit forming. Feel better. Tylenol PM. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Are you an alpha male in the bedroom and the boardroom? More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Sam. Who do you depend on to help protect your family's health and property? Well, there are the doctors, of course, the firefighters, and the police officers. But how about pest professionals? They're your best defense against household pests like bedbugs, mice, and termites. Pests like these contribute to asthma, to serious illness, and to property damage. To learn all about household pest threats and to locate a qualified pest professional near you to help protect your family, visit pestworld.org. If you're stopping by the grocery store today, Tylenol PM wants you to know that a good night's sleep could be in the bag. The grocery bag, that is. You've probably heard that turkey can help you to feel sleepy. But did you know that oatmeal can too, and so can bananas? And when pain keeps you up, Tylenol PM can help. It works with your body to ease the pain and help you to sleep. And when used as directed, it's non-habit forming. So, put a good night's sleep on your grocery list. Feel better. Tylenol PM. Sam?
Remember Gordon Gekko from the movie Wall Street?
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
He was going after the babes and the big bucks. Well, now a new study by experts at the University of Cambridge suggests Gordon's hormones may have been raging, which is why he did what he did. They say testosterone, which can be a factor in male aggression and sexual interest, also seems to have an effect on financial success, at least in the short term. They studied male financial traders in London, taking saliva samples in the morning and evening. Those with higher levels of testosterone in the morning were more likely to make an unusually big profit that day. But remember, I said success in the short term. In the longer term, the study suggests higher testosterone levels over several days can lead the alpha males to take irrational risks and maybe lose lots of money. The researchers say if you want a more stable financial market, one in which the action isn't swinging wildly because of all those testosterone-fueled traders out there, hire more women and older men as traders. Their testosterone levels are lower, and so they're less likely to bet the farm on a risky investment. So, Gordon, maybe it's time you sipped a little mint tea and watched Oprah to get more in touch with your feminine side.
I'm looking at 200,000 shares, move, pal. I want to over part of it. We better be. I'm going to come down and eat your lunch for you.
Okay, maybe he's a hopeless case. The Osgood File, Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Every now and then, one gets knocked down. And at that point, one should get up again, dust oneself off, and say, I've paid my taxes.
I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered.
You can't knock me down again.
Music bollocks. Not compared to how people matter.
Four minutes. minutes into the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up next hour, Phil Donahue joins us. He and Ellen Spiro have produced a new film focused on Thomas Young, who is a veteran of Iraq who will be spending the rest of his life in a wheelchair as a result of injuries he sustained just after less than a week of combat duty in Iraq. Body of War is the film. It's very powerful, and we'll talk with all three coming up next hour. And in our final hour today, Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector, and Elizabeth de la Vega, who has written ably about impeachment. She is a former prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office in San Jose, and a woman we've featured on the program many times, very verbal and quite facile in the law. So we've got an interesting program straight ahead. I hope you'll stay with us. Jason Leopold joins us now a little bit earlier than usual, and thanks for adjusting the schedule for Mr. Donahue. Jason?
My pleasure. And sounds like you've got a great show lined up today, Peter.
Well, it's all Katrina's fault.
Yeah.
Well, Katrina Rill is our...
I'm going to be tuning in on the net. I have to hear all that.
Well, real good. Well, Jason, we're finally getting somewhere. The article that is posted at consortiumnews.com under your byline is getting at something that I've asked you and many other people about many times over the last few years, which is who ultimately did approve the individual acts of torture that we know have occurred. And we don't know everything. There's a lot still obscured from us, but there's enough on the public record. There are enough people who have been released from Guantanamo or released from one of our extraordinary rendition rides that we know what has been going on. What has been obscured, starting with Abu Ghraib, was exactly how high level was approval given for these acts that are euphemized as enhanced interrogation techniques, many of which crossed the line into torture. ABC News reported first last week that there was this Principles Committee of the National Security Council, and it included Condoleezza Rice, John Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General at the time, Colin Powell, who was Secretary of State, Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, and a couple of others. Do you happen to have the rest of the names at your fingertips?
George Tenet was there.
Right, CIA Director.
And I believe the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Richard Myers.
Okay.
But I'm not, I have to say that I'm not exactly sure, because
I just found the list. Myers is not on the Principles Committee. So it's Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, George Tenet, and John Ashcroft. And this was the group that met in 2002-2003 because they were all so successful. Most of them got promoted, like Rice.
Exactly.
And Ashcroft got promoted to lobbyist. But it's interesting. What first came out from ABC is that it was this principals group.
Right.
The Principals Committee that not only approved it, but did so unanimously and egged them on. Condoleezza Rice quoted as saying, "It's your baby," to the CIA.
What a way to characterize and put this in context, to say that, you know, the conducting these types of methods is your baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It is. So then ABC, at the time when we're not supposed to be paying attention, which is after 5 p.m. on Friday evening, they reported that they got confirmation from the president himself.
Right.
That he was aware of their work and that he approved it.
And that's remarkable, because as I'm sure that people are aware, there was for quite a long time a suspicion that this came from very high up, that this wasn't the result of a few rogue U.S. soldiers or troops or interrogators, but that, in fact, this was policy at the highest level that was handed down to those at Guantanamo and you know, by senior members of the White House. And the fact that Bush had admitted this, that he admitted that he not only approved but authorized this meeting, you know, what struck me was, beside the fact that, you know, they rolled this out on a Friday at 5 p.m., was how cavalier President Bush was about his statement, if you will. He was Yeah, what's the big deal? You know, yeah, I approve this. In fact, I don't see what the big surprise is. People should not be, so startled by this.
Well, and two things on that, Jason. One is that he is chiming in on Dick Cheney's so.
Right, exactly. He certainly has. I mean, and that I think that that, you know, sort of response really is important in the big picture of how this administration works, how officials like Dick Cheney, the president, and others react to issues that we see as unconstitutional and a violation of laws, is that they see it as, just, hey, this is the way it is. It has to be this way.
Well, and Jason, my second point is that the reason that they can conduct themselves with such obvious arrogance is a simple one. Impeachment is off the table.
Right.
They know that they are beyond the reach of any other form of discipline or accountability, and they are smugly sitting there as lame ducks saying, so, what are you going to do?
Huh? And I think that you're absolutely right on that. I have to say that my feelings about impeachment, about, you know, the impeachment process have changed radically since a year ago. And that is as a result of what we're seeing come out in terms of all the malfeasance and scandals that has engulfed this administration. And I think that right now, this particular episode that took place at Guantanamo, and the fact that it very well may have taken place at the instructions of the White House at Abu Ghraib, It begs for an investigation. It begs for the type of resources that was given to the 9/11 Commission. Ultimately, the 9/11 Commission's report was a whitewash. But those types of resources, because this does not seem just like a high crime and misdemeanor. This could possibly be war crimes, international crimes.
Yeah.
When I started to go through documents that the ACLU has obtained over, at least the past 4 years, and, painstakingly going through these documents, trying to make sense and read hundreds and hundreds of pages, and when I came across this, which is in the story I had wrote today, was the document that the top FBI commander on the ground in Iraq, sent an email to the agency's counterterrorism officials. He actually made reference to an executive order that was signed by President Bush, saying that the interrogators were authorized to use military dogs and other techniques in order to scare the bejesus out of detainees to get information, techniques, methods that would amount to inhumane treatment and in some cases torture. Now you look at that. That was 4 years ago. Things were so much different 4 years ago. Certainly with not just the news cycle, I think that the White House was still able to make denials, and they would be purchased wholesale, if you will, by the media.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking back now at this document, knowing what we know based on the torture memo that has come out, and you put that into context with the with Bush's statements on Friday, I absolutely believe it undercuts the credibility of this administration. I believed it before, but I think the case is even stronger now.
I also believe, and I'm not a lawyer, but that the issues related to detainees both at Bagram and Guantanamo are very different from Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
In that the claim has been made, and it's a tortuous claim, but I do understand what they've argued, that these are combatants who came off the battlefield.
Right.
And that does not apply to the situation in Iraq, because most of those detainees were just, former army members or other people who were picked up off the streets.
Right.
They didn't know what to do with them, and some of them were subjected to these harsh forms of interrogation and torture.
Right.
And I do believe there's a big distinction there, and that the war crimes you allude to would probably be an easier conviction around the detainees at Abu Ghraib than the other 2 points I mentioned.
Yeah, and I think that with regard to war crimes, I don't have a full understanding yet. I haven't fully grasped the law and how it would be applied, how it would work. However, I think that the question is important enough to be raised by our Democratic leaders in Congress,
mm-hmm.
and certainly warrants quite a bit of research and investigation by those members. I mean, the ACLU, as you know, has called for a special prosecutor to be appointed, which I highly doubt will happen. But if you've noticed in the past week or so, we are hearing more and more about war crimes, and we're hearing about it by people who are actually constitutional attorneys, people who specialize in international law, foreign policy. So I think the right people are raising it.
Well, and you'll be delighted to hear this. Yesterday we spoke with Marjorie Cohn, president of the National Lawyers Guild and a constitutional lawyer herself.
Right.
And she's leading the charge to get John Yoo dismissed from the University of California at Berkeley.
I'm aware of that. And that's, again, I think that's a long shot, but it certainly remains to be seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard to tell whether or not that, that actually, well, as you know, the Berkeley dean has said that he's tenured, so it won't happen.
Right. Let me lift a quote from Jason's article, and again, read this at consortiumnews.com. It reads, this is an FBI email from 2004, and as Jason mentioned, it's from an individual in the FBI who's in Iraq. I have been told that all interrogation techniques previously authorized by the executive order are still on the table, but that certain techniques can only be used if very high-level authority is granted. That executive order is important. We'll come back to that.
Right.
The quotation continues. We have also instructed our personnel not to participate in interrogations by military personnel, which might include techniques authorized by executive order, but beyond the bounds of FBI practices. So this mention of an executive order is really crucial. And this is another case where Jason Leopold reads these documents and finds the unintended error there.
Yeah, and I do think that, that it's important, going back 4 years, looking at what was reported then, pulling this out, and taking a second look at it. And, if I were to tell you, Peter, that I'm sure you wouldn't be surprised if I were to tell you that when this was first reported, and it was buried in a news story, this email was released, it did not receive much coverage. But the White House's response to it was that the FBI official who cited this in executive order, now this is a top FBI official apparently, he was simply mistaken. Quote, mistaken, end quote.
This is a really big story. I give ABC credit. I don't watch ABC at all.
Yeah, so I don't either.
I give them credit for doing some enterprise reporting and some gutsy outing of these issues.
Right.
But the rest of the corporate media is more interested in bitter Barack and the allegations from Hillary that he's elite because he said some Pennsylvanians are bitter.
Right.
And I'm just angry at the way the media is so interested in this sideshow and won't talk about the most egregious violation of our Constitution in my frickin' lifetime.
Yeah. And
we gotta take a break, Jason. We'll be right back. Jason Leopold with us. Read the article at consortiumnews.com. We'll take some calls in a moment. Lines are open at 888-5 Peter B. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
From Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Frontman John Fogerty can't take it no more. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Investigative journalist Jason Leopold with us. Read this news story. It is at consortiumnews.com, Robert Perry's Press. And it's really powerful stuff about who is ultimately responsible for the torture policies that we have seen limited evidence of. And as I mentioned, I believe there's much more. For example, Jason, just a couple of weeks back, 60 Minutes featured another story of a guy who'd been subjected to extraordinary rendition.
Right.
And he detailed how he was, he didn't use the term waterboarded, but it falls into that category, and it occurred at Bagram Air Base. Now, we had the head of the CIA tell us just a couple of months ago, under oath, that there were three people who were subjected to waterboard. They were videotaped, but oops, we've lost the tapes, or maybe they were destroyed.
Exactly.
And so this guy, whose name I can't recall, but was on 60 Minutes, is either the 4th, the 44th, or the 444th. But we know that we haven't been told the full truth. And so we now see the outlines of the chain of command and who ultimately is responsible. And all we can do is express our outrage and wring our hands because the Democrats have, whiffed or blinked or just intentionally decided that they didn't want to impeach these guys.
Right.
And that is the only remedy we really have except for, post office kinds of prosecutions that really have an uncharted future.
Well, certainly it would be important in a historical context for future generations, if you will, to be able to look back on this administration and know that their egregious crimes, that they were at least our lawmakers tried to hold them accountable, even if an impeachment itself failed, the fact that they, you know, followed through with it and that it went on the books, I think that would be important. I mean, if you look, if in 20 years people look back on this administration, they don't see that there was any accountability, well, there you go. You know, that's the lesson. But I think it's important. You and I had this discussion quite a number of months ago, but in terms of you said that we were told the full story. The administration claimed they told us the full story about waterboarding or any other issue. You know, it's important to keep in mind that this that there seems to be a reluctance to use the word lying.
Yeah.
That that these officials lied, and I want to bring your attention to the book that the New York Times reporter, Philip Schneen, I think his name is?
Shannon,
okay, mm-hmm. That he wrote regarding the 9/11 Commission. And it's in the 9/11 Commission, in his book, which I think is pretty fascinating, the 9/11 Commission determined that Vice President Cheney lied to them about whether or not he was given the authority to have airplanes shot down. That day on 9/11.
Correct.
And they felt that he was not telling the truth, that he lied, that there were holes in his story. And that is important because that has to do with, you know, constitutional issues that this administration, as we know, has actually now prepared memos to try to, you know, skirt. We have a commission that believes Cheney was lying. President Bush actually said prior to the November 2006 midterm election, Donald Rumsfeld is safe and secure and will be with me until the end of my term. Right after the election, Rumsfeld was gone. Bush more or less admitted that he lied.
Yeah.
But again, this is, you know, to try and think that, you know, that is it possible that they would lie now? Absolutely. And we should feel comfortable enough to say they lied.
Yeah.
They lied and they continue to lie.
And your point about Cheney and the 9/11 Commission is well taken, and it's the reason why he would not appear under oath.
Exactly.
And that he only agreed to have a meeting with Kane and Hamilton in the presence of Bush. He would not allow himself to be alone with them. Let's go to John in Carmel Valley. Hi, John.
This mentioning, and I've heard it now several times on your program, about the Secretary of State being involved in the torture meetings. I mean, Condi Rice, I've never had much of an opinion of her, but it's almost unreal that anyone as Secretary of State would be involved in such a thing, because the job of Secretary of State is diplomacy. And what could be more removed from diplomacy than torture?
Well, she wasn't Secretary of State at the time.
Oh, she wasn't.
No, but Colin Powell was there at those meetings.
Oh, exactly. This is
and,
way back.
Yeah, this is 02 and 03 when Powell was Secretary of State,
right.
And Rumsfeld was still at the Pentagon. And so these meetings were going on. Rice was the National Security Advisor, and she chaired these meetings.
Right,
and
chaired the meetings. She directed these folks.
Yeah. So it wasn't a diplomacy matter, but when Colin Powell tries to separate himself from this pack of goons, he has to square his participation in the torture meetings, among others.
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, the... Colin Powell, in a way, sort of knows where the bodies are buried. I'm absolutely sure of it, and I'm sure that Lawrence Wilkerson, his deputy, knows as well. They're not speaking. Perhaps they're waiting till, you know, these guys are out of office and it's safe.
Well, the news today is that Rummy's going to write a memoir, and that Rice has very firmly stated that she would not be interested in or accept a vice presidential slot on the McCain campaign.
Well, on behalf of the American people, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, John. Jason, thanks for your work.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Peter.
We'll talk to you next week. Jason Leopold, read the story at consortiumnews.com. Coming up next, the news, and then Phil Donahue will join us, along with his co-producer Ellen Spiro and Thomas Young, all involved in the movie Body of War. We'll tell you about it next.
I'm
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pope Benedict arrives to a warm greeting from President Bush. Oil rises yet again.
Every day, every minute we turn around, it seems something new is driving oil prices to new record highs.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The crowd at Andrews Air Force Base was kept at a distance, but cheers went up when the leader of the world's Roman Catholics emerged from his plane. More from CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Clear blue skies, a smiling Pope all in white except for his royal red shoes, and as Benedict walked down from his Alitalia jet known as Shepherd One, President Bush was waiting at the foot of the steps, a warm handshake and the same from Mrs. Bush and their daughter Jenna. An invited crowd outside sang for the Pope. Tomorrow is his 81st birthday. In the morning, he'll have talks at the White House, likely on the morality of Iraq, global warming, and other issues. Tomorrow evening, he'll meet with 350 bishops. Benedict said no thanks to a birthday banquet invitation from President Bush. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
On the flight from Rome, the Pope spoke to the reporters on his plane. In English, he answered a question about the clergy sex abuse scandal.
I'd be ashamed, and we will do all the possible that this cannot happen in future.
Benedict vowed that pedophiles will be absolutely excluded from ministry. He said it is more important to have good priests than many priests. Now this.
As a small business owner, I do have a staff. Me, myself, and I. And we do it all. Fortunately, there's Sam's Club. For 25 years, Sam's Club has been providing businesses like ours the items crucial to our success and saving us money, which we can then put right back into our business. And from April 21st to the 25th, we can go to Sam's Club and take the invoice challenge for a chance to win a $100,000 small business makeover. No purchase necessary. Visit sbtv.com for details. Bring the staff.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Just when you thought the price of oil couldn't possibly go any higher, it does. U.S. crude jumped more than $2 today, settling in New York at $113.79 a barrel. Analyst Peter Butel says traders reacted to a report that oil production in Russia is down 1% from last year.
The loss of any oil at this point seems to drive this market wild. I have a feeling that if I were to throw a half a can of Quaker State after filling up my car engine, that the market would react.
It's an unpleasant time for the economy.
Toro College economics professor Peter Sperling says the Fed is between a rock and a hard place, the economy slipping into recession while rising energy costs drive up the price of everything.
A weakening economy means that the Fed wants to try and stimulate things and lower interest rates. Inflation that looks like it's getting too uncomfortably high is going to push the Fed to become more restrictive.
Today's government report might signal an end to rate cuts. Wholesale prices rose 1.1% in March, the biggest monthly jump in 33 years. Despite all this, the stock market had some gains. The Dow up 60 points to 12,362, and the Nasdaq rose 10 points. Today, John McCain offered some ideas on the economy.
I propose that the federal government suspend all taxes on gasoline now paid by the American people from Memorial Day to Labor Day of this year.
It's estimated that would cost the government $10 billion in revenue, but McCain says it would help spread relief across the economy. Vioxx was pulled off the market in 2004, but long before that, researchers say Merck suppressed evidence that the drug could be harmful. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
In an unusual departure, the Journal of the American Medical Association investigates Merck's handling of safety studies for the painkiller Vioxx. An internal company document shows that back in 2001, Merck discovered a threefold increase in death.
Merck did not provide this to the FDA or to the public.
University of Washington researcher Bruce Bassady.
When the FDA asked the company did not see any possible concern.
He thinks independent panels should monitor company drug safety studies. The journal also says many Vioxx medical articles and court documents attributed to scholars were actually ghostwritten by Merck employees. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Today's most fuel-efficient mid-size cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras. Hold
no, wait,
applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem
cover? Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires.
Oh.
Ah, I know your tires inside and out. Mostly ours.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special offer.
Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars, never fight them.
Yeah, chicken hawks like Cheney.
Those who fight wars, I never like them.
You'll need a veteran in a moment.
Those who ride laws, I can recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time. It's time to go home. To take our boys and win them. To take our girls and win them.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 7 minutes after the hour. Growing up in Ohio, Phil Donahue was on the television, along with Ruth Lyons, Bob Braun, and Nick Clooney on the 50-50 Club. And about a month ago in Washington at the Take Back America conference, I got a chance to talk to Phil Donahue, and he introduced us to this powerful new film called Body of War. Phil, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Peter.
And thank you for producing this movie. Since we spoke, I've had a chance to watch it, and it is so powerful, as we're about to discuss. And I'm just grateful that you took the time and effort, along with your co-producer, Ellen Spiro, to put this film together and get it out in front of a nation that really needs to see the true consequences of Bush's decisions to invade and occupy Iraq and the incredible human toll that is involved there. Ellen Spiro joins us, too. She is an associate professor at the University of Texas in Austin and a filmmaker who is responsible for many great films, including, I've got a list right here if I can scroll up, Diana's Hair, Ego, Greetings from Out Here, Rome, Sweet Home, Atomic Ed and the Black Hole, Are the Kids All Right? Ellen, welcome to our program today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And how did you and Phil Donahue connect initially for the purpose of producing this film?
Well, I got a phone call out of the blue one day without warning, and someone claiming to be Phil Donahue was on the line, and I almost hung up on him because I thought it was an impersonator, a crank caller, just, you know, trying to mess around with me. But before I hung up, he said, no, wait, and mentioned a friend that we have in common. So once I got over the fact that I was talking to Phil Donahue, who was a part of my consciousness as I was growing up in my living room every day, we started to get to the meat of talking about this story and the main character, Tom Young. The heart of every great documentary is character, so I immediately wanted to meet Thomas Young, and we made a plan to go to Kansas City together. Phil had already met Thomas. I met Thomas. He was very drugged up on morphine, but he was still an incredible character, and I knew that we would have a story. Didn't know where the story was going to go, but knew that with this incredibly brilliant, hilariously funny, and deep person in Thomas Young, that we would have a story that would touch people.
Thomas Young joins us now from Kansas City. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Looks like you rounded up the usual suspects here. You got Phil, Ellen, and I together.
Right, and Homeland Security will descend on all locations shortly.
Right.
Thomas, what you did in this film is something remarkable, and that is you pulled back the curtain on your life, and you shared the pain and the suffering and the sorrows that you have endured due to your injuries from Bush's war in Iraq. And this film really, I think, is how can I put it? It's so raw and real. And it depicts your life and the challenges you face and the heartbreak that you have experienced over the last few years. And I just have to ask you, first and foremost, did you think initially about having, you know, Tom Cruise played Ron Kovic in the 4th of July film? Did you think of passing and allowing this to be done as a you know, kind of a biopic instead of a documentary that really reveals all about you?
Well, that's the first time that question has been asked of me. I can definitely say to say I relished the role of being a documentary subject isn't the right word, but I enjoyed the opportunity to be able to put a human face on the pain and suffering that goes on in thousands of homes across this country. What's remarkable is that there's not a documentary camera in each of these homes so that the entire world, the entire country can see the pain that goes on a 24-hour loop on some cable channel somewhere. We can call it War TV.
And Phil Donahue, you certainly have talked to many people, heard their stories, and helped them, help facilitate the expression of them in television and elsewhere. What drew you to Thomas Young's story?
Well, it was a total accident. I happened to be talking with Ralph Nader after the 2004 election. And he said a mother and a son and his mother have asked to see me at Walter Reed, so off we go. Here is Thomas, totally, you know, medicated. And as I stood next to his bed, his mother briefed me on the gravity of his injury. Thomas is a T4. Thomas is paralyzed from the chest down. So a lot of things go with that. You know, Thomas can't walk. Thomas can't cough. I mean, there's so much. The closer you get to Thomas, the more you appreciate the, you know, the real consequence of this kind of injury. This injury has not only turned his life upside down, but we have the whole family is jarred by this. And as Thomas said, this is a drama that's taking place in thousands of homes in this country, and it is not being seen. This is a sanitized war. It may explain why the war is no longer at the top of list of Americans' worry list. And, I just think it's terrible that these people are suffering in silence, ignored. You know, we talk about the troops, the brave troops, the courageous troops. You know, we come home and the VA doesn't call them back. I mean, there's so much pretense here. Stop this now. Let's look in the mirror and understand that we have a massive blunder here, and this movie is an attempt to put a face on this war and move people to get out there and join the millions who are already out there protesting this terrible foreign policy decision.
And Thomas Young, how does it feel for you just a week after the latest political theater presented by those great actors Petraeus and Crocker, that the subject is completely changed, and what dominates the media right now is that Obama said bitter and Clinton said that he's elite for calling people bitter. And I just want to scream, because this war is what really matters, and the country is distracted by a sideshow over some comments that were made, and the Congress is going to give another $100 billion without any restrictions. The war is going to continue to grind on. 40 Americans or more have already been killed in April. Thousands of Iraqis continue to die almost every month. And yet we're content to parse words and say, oh, bitter, that's really offensive.
Absolutely. I mean, I watched an anchor on a Fox and Friends who was a Marine himself try to explain the reason why they don't report the casualties, because people know that Americans are dying, you know, and you'll find out about the casualties, but you have to catch the crawl on the bottom of the screen if you're watching one of the 24-hour news networks. But if you're too distracted by the latest news about Britney Spears driving her car into a tree or doing something with the kids, you'll miss it, by God, and it's a sad state of affairs these days.
And Ellen Spear, I read recently a kind of a recap of the poor performance at the box office of some great films that play on themes related to the war in Iraq. I've seen Rendition and the one with Tommy Lee Jones that came out, Valley of Ella. And it seems that Americans do not consider films with these very powerful themes about our current predicament to be the kind of entertainment they want to go and pop 1050 on.
Well, less than 5% of this country has actually sacrificed in this war. And what Body of War offers that is different is this amazing opportunity to do what Phil and I got to do, which is to get to know Thomas Young, his mother, and his whole family in a very real way. When people see Body of War, they know someone who has been affected by this war. They know Thomas, they know his mom, they know his family in a way that makes it personal. They're real people, and the story is full of drama and heroism. It's a story of Thomas coming back to life, really, and finding his voice. And he's not just any average old Joe's voice. It's a very strong, very brilliant voice that he expresses in this film.
That's Ellen Spiro. Also with us is Phil Donahue. They co-produced the film Body of War. Its subject, Thomas Young, is on the line with us. We're going to take a break here in a moment. But, Phil, do you happen to have information about screenings in California to share with our listeners?
Yes, we do. We open at the Clay Theater in the Bay Area this Friday, and the Shattuck in Berkeley. And then we go to Seattle, and then to Los Angeles, and then to San Diego. So, we realize this is a challenge, that this, we do follow a long line of fabulous work that has been, I'm afraid, not unlike the people who have been injured in this war, pretty, you know, ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And but we are saying, we're certainly not saying we're better. We do think we're different. You know, Michael Moore came over and helped us, gave us notes during our filming one day. And after he saw our rough cut, he said, you know, and this is apparently a cliche in movie making, I didn't know this, 90% of movie making is casting. You had a great movie the day you found Thomas Young. So I don't want to embarrass Thomas, but it certainly is true. He's a very compelling guy.
I agree. It's a story that, well, it'll linger with me for a long, long time. Phil Donahue, Ellen Spiro, and Thomas Young with us. They'll continue in a moment. Thomas is going to stay with us for one more segment. If you want to call him, do so now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Phil and Ellen will stay with us for the remainder of the hour, so feel free to join us. You can also email me, Peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Spring has sprung at All Class Transportation, and the All Class Transportation team is offering awesome spring savings to KRXA listeners for all of April. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338 to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. For example, a party of eight can rent an All Class Transportation luxury limo for the bargain basement price of only $55 an hour. That's right, folks. I said only $55 per hour with a one-hour minimum. All Class Transportation also has luxury SUVs and sedans for even less, and again, with a minimum time of just 1 hour. If you are looking for an airport drop-off or pickup in Monterey or San Jose at a great price, look no further than All Class Transportation. For additional information, call the All Class Transportation team at 831-582-9338 or email them at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included. And vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation, TCP 22978-A at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Newsflash just in. Now through April 30th, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, All Class Transportation is only $50 per hour with a one-hour minimum for an eight-passenger luxury limo. Wow, unbelievable. Call now and reserve your limo before it's too late. All Class Transportation, 582-9338.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA, and we just don't have a whole lot going on right now. There's one accident. It's in Salinas. It's being reported Cooper Road at McFadden Road. We have a bus involved with a pickup truck crash. No injuries. It looks like CHP just arriving on the scene. Highway 156 east of 25 got reports that a tree is down in the roadway. Cars are swerving to avoid that. Highway 17 making your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checking and stalling accident-free. Highway 68, we have nothing to tell you about right now. Highway 1, both directions between Mark Parker Street and Morrissey Avenue. May see some heavy traffic there because of road construction going on. They're still working on taking down the Brant's of 40 Avenue overcrossing. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect. Only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, we'd love to know about it. Give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with filmmakers Phil Donahue and Ellen Spiro and the subject of the documentary Body of War, Thomas Young. Searching for life in the darkness of insanity. I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is the only pain and hatred that fills me? There's one thing I want to know. What's so funny about this one You can get more information on the documentary Body of War at the website bodyofwar.com. And Thomas Young continues with us. We'll talk more with Phil Donahue and Ellen Spiro in our next segment. Thomas, there's so much powerful material in the film. Your story is intercut with the historic and tragic vote of October 2002 that sent you and other Americans in uniform into harm's way in Iraq. And we don't have time to talk about all of it, but one of the most compelling scenes is your exchange with Robert Byrd, the most senior member of the Senate now from West Virginia, and a man who really attempted to be the conscience of our nation at a time when too many people weren't looking for a conscience. Talk about Senator Byrd and what meeting him meant to you.
Well, I don't know if he's aware of the fact, but he's my surrogate grandfather, so... I have the utmost love and respect for Senator Byrd. Meeting him was an honor, especially given his boisterous objections to Congress abdicating their constitutional ability to declare war. I mean, he was quite... dead set against the war that I was dead set against myself.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a soldier, I enlisted after 9/11 to go to Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, wherever the people were responsible, wherever they were from. But instead, I got sent to a country that had nothing to do with that attack. Then we were told, well, they have weapons of mass destruction. No, they didn't. None of the reasons we were told to be over there are actually true, except not even this one. We're there to make sure that the others didn't die in vain. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't need to invade the country, because that was an arbitrary war that did not need to be started.
Yeah.
One of them, one soldier died in vain, and now over 4,000 have died in vain, unfortunately, of my brothers and sisters.
Well, and you have a brother in uniform. Is he still in Iraq?
He is still in Iraq, yes.
And he's okay?
He is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Thomas, I just have a minute remaining. Let me ask you about one other thing. John Edwards, the former presidential candidate, wrote an op-ed piece arguing that the real number of injured from Iraq and Afghanistan is closer to 60,000. The official number is 30,000. Is the Pentagon playing games with the data?
That could very well be. John Edwards is quite a skilled legal mind. He probably knows places where to find the numbers. He could very well be correct. I I don't put much in the way of credibility on my government anymore, and that is a sad day in America as far as I'm concerned.
It certainly is. Thomas, I want to direct people to truthout.org because Jeffrey Millard, who I know who served in Iraq, is a great reporter. He did an excellent video with you, and I'd like people to watch it. Some of it, like the film, is a little uncomfortable when you talk about what you have to go through every day, your bodily functions, your loss of sexual function. But I think, again, these are very important themes and messages that Americans need to know. The true cost, your true sacrifice, and I thank you for it.
Thank you very much.
All right, Thomas Young, I appreciate it. Jamie Curtis helped us get in touch with Thomas. Thank you, Jamie. We'll continue with Phil Donahue and Ellen Spiro after a break on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It just won't go away. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I think those comments are elitist.
I don't think he really gets it.
So maybe somebody should just read to you what Barack Obama said. The problem here is the only recording of his allegedly elitist remark is this lousy audio. Which is why no one's played the whole thing. And just reading it would be boring. But I'm going to do it anyway. Obama's answering a question from a supporter headed to Pennsylvania who wanted to know what to tell the voters there. And he begins by saying, quote, "In states like Ohio and Pennsylvania, people feel so betrayed by government. And when they hear a pitch that's premised on not being cynical about government, then a part of them just doesn't buy it. Our challenge is to get people persuaded that we can make progress when there's not evidence of that in their daily lives. You go into some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years, and each successive administration has said that somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not. So it's not surprising, then, that they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations. Now, these are in some communities. I think what you'll find is there are going to be a mix of people." Unquote. So, in fact, he's trying to get his San Francisco supporters to understand what living in a rural area is like. And whether you support Obama or not, there's only one way to make that controversial, and that is to ignore the meaning of the words. But then, campaigns aren't won or lost because of what the candidates actually said. They're won or lost because of what we think they said. Now this.
No one knows what women want better than New York Times bestselling author Fern Michaels. Her best-selling Sisterhood series is no exception. These savvy ladies always entertain as they find the most unusual ways to exact sweet revenge. Now you can celebrate the sisterhood all year long with five new Fern Michaels novels of women at their take-no-prisoners best. Hocus Pocus, Fern Michaels' new sisterhood novel, is on sale now. No one does payback quite like the sisterhood.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Our lives are the way they are because we insist upon ignoring one of the deepest truths that has ever been given to us. Hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. These are the words of Buddha from the Dhammapada. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how honored I am to be with you on Saturday and Sunday mornings here on KRXA 540 AM. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to offer to you the alternative to hate and maybe help you understand the ebb and flow of love and exactly what love can be and do for a person like you and me. The peace we seek in this world is not through politics, religion, or philosophy. It is found in those moments of deep and profound silence where we recognize the truth that hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love can dispel hate. Come and join me, won't you?
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our conversation with filmmakers Phil Donahue and Ellen Spiro. The new documentary, Body of War, opens in the Bay Area this Friday. The Clay Theater in San Francisco, the Shattuck in Berkeley. And this film's got a lot of great music in it, including a song from this guy, Neil Young. Continuing now with Phil Donahue and Ellen Spiro. Phil, did any of your kids or their friends help you with the musical selections for this film?
That's a good question. You're asking Lawrence Welk. You know what? I had met Eddie Vedder on the Nader campaign in 2000, on which campaign I was not a participant in 2004. My wife threatening to leave me if I did another one of those. And it was there that I met Eddie in 2000. And then a little over a year ago, I bumped into him again. Eddie, what are you doing? I said, I'm making an anti-Iraq war documentary. He said, you want a song? And I grabbed him. He comes to my apartment in New York. He watches a two-hour assembly of our film, very loose, rough cut then. He goes home, he calls Thomas. Imagine, Thomas answers the phone. Hi, Thomas, this is Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. Well, Thomas was over the moon. He talked to Thomas for more than an hour, and in 4 days, in an MP3 file, in my email, I get the signature song of our film for free. He gives this to Thomas Young. I mean, what's lucky to you?
Yeah. I opened our segment today with Michael Franti and Spearhead, Time to Go Home. I am so impressed with that band and with the consciousness of the big man, Michael, who fronts it. Have you had a chance to meet him?
Ellen knows these people. Ellen, of course, is half my age. I'm, you know, you look up rock and roll, as you know, there's a picture of me.
Ellen, go ahead.
Franti has a wonderful song in our film called Light Up Your Lighter that talks about this war. And I actually met him with Thomas Young at a concert backstage, and he is an incredible guy. He performed barefoot when we saw him.
Yeah. Well, and he's huge. He's got dreadlocks. And one of my passions is trying to reform the California prison system. And he did a whole CD based on a mock radio show that was covering an impending execution. And it's just brilliant. And it brought up all the themes of, the travesties of justice, the three strikes law, our broken parole system. And he's just an amazing guy who takes real life and converts it into powerful thematic music.
Yes, indeed. And he's, Thomas is a big fan of his. And that was one of the first artists that Thomas selected for the Body of War album, and Thomas curated that album of 30 different tracks, and Eddie Vedder helped him produce it. All the artists donated their music for free. The proceeds all go to the Iraq Veterans Against the War, and it's It's a remarkable album.
Yeah. And Phil, as you have delved into these, the IVAW, I spent a little time at on the Mall in Washington, September of 2006. We called it Camp Democracy. And I met so many of these. It was all men. There may be some female members, but these men were so impressive in their dignity, their pride in having served, and their outrage at the policies that dispatched them to a war that they, you know, did not understand, a mission that was never explained or that was constantly evolving and shifting. And their determination to try to help their brothers and sisters by changing the policy and bringing our troops home is something that I'm very touched by. But I'm equally distraught that the Democrats, who took control after the 2006 elections, are taking this year off. I talked to Joe Sestak, the former admiral who's a freshman congressman from Pennsylvania last week, and I said, Congressman, are the Democrats going to attempt anything like they did last year to put limitations, timelines, give him only half the funding? And he said, no. He said, we're going to wait and see what happens with the election. That's where we hope we can change. And once again, he said, we don't have the votes. And I don't know about you, but I consider that to be a patronizing and lame excuse. I say, go get the votes and keep challenging these bad policies until you can get the votes.
Yes, and I agree. And why is it? I think, first of all, it's very important for us to understand how courageous it was to stand up and vote no in October 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, we can get into a war in 6 minutes and it takes 60 years to get out. This is, we seem, you know, where have all the flowers, when will they ever learn, said the old song. I thought Vietnam would teach us this. Now we have a Democratic Party that continues to appear to have its eyes on in the headlights of the oncoming car, not unlike the proverbial deer. They are afraid to say no for fear of looking like they're not supporting the troops, and the troops are going to be naked out there because they didn't give them the money, and how could you do this? And, you know, it just goes on and on. At every turn, you are stymied. If you criticize the war after somebody dies, you're defiling that grave. You know, if you don't support the troops and give them money, then you're jeopardizing their lives. And, it just goes, we have to somehow come to realize that we are never going to be safe in this country. You know, Canada, the only thing separating us from Canada is imaginary line. Canadians don't have the anxieties that Americans have. Americans are now concerned. I mean, not enough, in my opinion. But we don't feel good at all about our country. You know, this appears to be a nation that has gone off the tracks.
Well, and Phil, this surfaced last week here in San Francisco as the new Olympic event called Hide the Torch was introduced to the American public.
Mm-hmm.
And we had thousands of people who wanted to peacefully protest China's hosting of the Olympic Games because of their sorry record on Tibet, their sorry record on democracy and human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we as a nation are hobbled in trying to express any kind of moral values like that because they have been debased by this administration. And China can go tit for tat with us. Occupation? Yeah, you got one. Torture? Oh, sure. Human rights? I really feel sad that we have reached this point where our expression is essentially trumped by the bad behavior of our government.
And tough guys are rewarded. Tough guys. And tough women, too. You know, we will never feel safe until we have the courage. I speak now of the population. Forget the political leaders for a second. Us.
Mm-hmm.
The population. We're never going to feel safe until we are brave enough to elect people who will reach out rather than lash out.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much to sell. I mean, we've got a great Constitution. You know, one of the things that comes down in your head after spending 3 years with this young man and watching that debate on the floor of the House and the Senate in October 2002, the framers were right. Don't give this power to one man. The idea of the separation of church and state is a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. It causes the religion flourishes in this country. We have the most religious nation on earth. And it's because of the separation that religion should be a personal thing. Now we've got people tripping over themselves and claiming to have recruited Jesus for this war. I mean, this is beyond shameful.
Yeah. That's Phil Donahue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Also with him, his co-director, Ellen Spiro. The film Body of War opens this Friday at the Clay Theater in San Francisco, the Shattuck in Berkeley. And will there be wider distribution, Ellen, after these initial screenings?
Absolutely. Well, we are rolling out across the country, and as long as there's audience interest, we will keep showing the film. It's really about people coming to see Body of War, so please come and see your friends. One thing that we've heard from audience members, they do not regret coming to see this film, and they feel changed by it, and they don't forget anything in it very quickly. So it's a different kind of movie.
Yeah, it certainly is. And
so we'll have you to dinner by 9 o'clock. This is not a tedious film. It's not a lecture. There is no narrator. I'm not in the film. That should get us a little bump at the box office. And, you know, it's a story. That Ellen filmed so beautifully. It's the story of a heartland family struggling with a catastrophic injury. And we can't say this enough. This is multiplied thousands of times over in this country, and we are not seeing this.
Yeah, it's the real price that we will pay for a long, long time. We'll also pay a price internationally, but this is what hits home. And we even heard Republicans last week expressing their frustration, as Petraeus and Crocker said vaguely, you know, 6 more months, and then we'll tell you what the next 6 months will be like. And they even, you know, have this sense that we as, you know, average citizens have not been asked to sacrifice, to sell war bonds or pay a war tax or really do anything. And we have leveraged this war by borrowing the money so our kids will pay for it. And despite the economic implosion and the deep devaluation of our currency, most Americans haven't really felt any cost of this war.
And they're going to start feeling it even more now financially. The war is what's put us into the financial black hole here. That we are spending, first of all, we're spending $515 billion a year on the Pentagon. And that doesn't include the war.
Right.
The war is a supplemental. That's $145 billion. We're spending over $650 billion. That's $2 billion a day. This is unbelievable. You know, and we bombed Grenada, for God's sake. I don't know how long the American people are going to stand there. And, you know, and then, you know, you try to say, you dissent, what do you want to do, sing Kumbaya? I mean, it's amazing how they shut you up.
Mm-hmm.
At every turn, we don't understand. We're pointy-headed people who don't realize the real world, and of course they do. And now they're talking about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
We have a military tapped out. And by the way, what would be wrong with the draft right now? We want to support our troops? Let's send some more people over there. And by the way, if we do draft people, we're going to draft the rich this time. You remember Vietnam, if your father could afford the lawyer, you didn't have to go. That's the number one pretense hypocrite thing of all time. And, you know, we've got to change that now. Let's find out who really supports the troop. Let's have a draft.
Well, that's an important challenge. Ellen Spiro, it must have been difficult for you to make some critical decisions, and I'm glad that you left in sequences of Thomas getting help from his mom, trying to put a catheter on, and some of the other things that might make people squirm in their seats a little bit when he talks about, with an older veteran, about trying to regain sexual function. And while many people might think that these are private matters, I think it's very important, and I credit Thomas with being willing to share with the nation the details of this sacrifice that he faces on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, Thomas realized, I think, at a certain point that by sharing as much as he possibly could with this story, that it was making him stronger, that he wasn't alone in this, and that there's a real power to telling your story. So his is a heroic journey. It's not a pathetic situation that he's in, because he is working to get himself back. You know, he talks about awakening the monster, and he shares with us all these crazy tools that he's been exposed to for curing erectile dysfunction. He talks to Bobby Mueller, the Vietnam vet with the same injury, who says to Thomas, you know, when you get all these concoctions right, they're going to have to knock your dick down with a sledgehammer. So there's the story is filled with humor, it's filled with hope, it's filled with drama, and it's filled with unexpected twists and turns, which you'll only know about if you come and see it in the theater.
Yes, and I've chosen not to reveal at least one of those. I hope I haven't revealed too much. We're going to take a break and return with Phil Donahue and his co-director of the film Body of War, Ellen Spiro. If you have a comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And check out the website, bodyofwar.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good news right now. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all checking in, stalling accident-free. We do have a grass fire burning in King City, North 101 after Broadway Street, apparently burning underneath the freeway, but quite a bit of black smoke reported in the area, so that may be causing traffic to slow. Fire department is on the way. Highway 17, both directions, making your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checking in, stalling accident-free. Of course, some heavy traffic on the Fish Hook, South 17 onto Southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. Just brake lights through the construction zone there with stop-and-go traffic heading down towards Aptos. Highway 68 looking good. We have no problems to report there. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, keep your Toyota a Toyota by trusting the factory-trained technicians of your genuine Toyota service center to tune and repair your Toyota to precise factory specs. Now, if you spot a traffic problem out there, we'd love to know about it. Give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's brand new book, Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Moon and the propaganda organ called the Washington Times. For the video, visit thekingofamerica.com. We continue with filmmakers Phil Donahue and Ellen Spiro. The documentary Body of War opens this Friday in the Bay Area, the Clay Theater in San Francisco, the Shattuck in Berkeley. Get details at bodyofwar.com. And there's also an excellent movie soundtrack put together by Eddie Vedder and Thomas Young, the subject of this documentary. Ellen Spiro, were there obstacles to getting this film produced and out to the theaters? Because as I watched it, I got the sense that it was actually ready about maybe a year, year and a half ago.
Well, we actually premiered it at the Toronto Film Festival shortly after we finished it. So the process is usually doing what we did, which is to roll out in film festivals and then theaters. So we are in theatrical distribution right now, and you know, the timing is good. We're in an election year, and this film reminds us of how we got into this war and how Thomas got into the situation that he's in and how not to let it happen again. So it's there's part of this film that involves a kind of expose of the scripted nature of the debate that got us into Iraq, and it's really about the future. So when you see Body of War, you'll not only see this personal story of Thomas Young and fall in love with Thomas, but you will see some shocking material that very few people in this country saw. Phil Donahue was one of those few people that watched hundreds of hours of debate and saw a pattern emerge. He saw this scripted pattern in this debate, and yeah, he's edited it in such a way that everyone can see it.
Right. The White House talking points come through loud and clear. Deborah in Carmel, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello, Deborah.
Have you purchased the compilation CD yet?
You know, I have not.
You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. And I wanted to thank Phil and Ellen, to be presumptuous, use your first names. And would you please tell Thomas that that CD made me feel better?
Mm.
I put it on and crank it up a little bit, and it, the collection of songs is absolutely stunning.
All right, I'm going to go get one this week. Thank you, Deborah.
And everyone else should, too.
Okay, I appreciate that. She's Vice President of Marketing at Carmel by the Sea. Phil, I wanted to ask you about something related to your experience at MSNBC. Jeff Cohen is a frequent contributor to our program, and in his book, Cable News Confidential, he talked about one little episode that you had with the suits at NBC. You wanted to bring Scott Ritter on the program, and Scott's going to be on our show next hour. And I just wanted to ask if you'd care to tell us what occurred there and what the issues were about so-called balance on your cable news program.
Well, we had to have two conservatives for every liberal. I was counted as two liberals, so I couldn't have one conservative. I had to have two.
Now, what happens if you bring Michael Moore on?
Well, Michael Moore was most unwelcome. You know, it's very important, I think, for all of us to understand what corporate media is doing to us. That opposing the war in October 2002 was just flat not good for business. It was anti-war people were scolds, anti-war people didn't love America, on and on. Tim Robbins talks about this a lot. He took a lot of incoming.
Mm-hmm.
But to have, you just, you know, it is a matter of economics. You know, they're saying, look, they're not going to listen to this. As a memo, which was leaked to the New York Times, told NBC News, you know, you can't compete when you've got the competition is waving the flag. Here's Donahue, got a mecca for anti-war voices. In October 2002, the mood of this country was dark and depressed and angry, and we had significant millions of Americans wanted to bomb something. So to put this old hand yesteryear guy, has been, talk show grayhead guy, on my channel to criticize my president was too much for them to bear. And that is not an overstatement. They were terrified of the L word. Liberal is the political idea that dare not speak its name.
Mm-hmm. And you had a great quote at the time that it was hard to do PBS in an MTV world.
Yeah, that's true. I really did feel, you know, it's different now. We have Keith Olbermann, mm-hmm, praise the Lord.
I'm glad he's on the air. We should support him. But it took a lot of bodies in pine boxes coming home for the management to say, oh, okay, maybe we'll let you go. And he's hitting hard now, and
well,
I say hooray for him.
And, Phil, aren't they pandering in the same way that they did in October of 2002?
Oh, really? It's amazing. You know, the anti-war position is now popular.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. But it's also true, as Thomas makes the point, you know, that the number of deaths is now reduced to the crawl at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Media has lost interest in this war.
And, Phil, on that note, I've never watched Montel's daytime TV show, but Montel Williams went on the Fox News Channel back in January, and they wanted him to dish about Heath Ledger's death, which was, you know, just a couple of days old, and he refused. He said, why don't you talk about how many Americans have died in Iraq? You don't even know how many. And his, coiffed airhead anchors were fumbling to come up with a number and to respond to him.
Yeah.
And I give him a lot of credit. The Fox News stations canceled his syndicated show a week later.
Yeah, the president said you can't shoot take pictures of the coffins, and media said, okay, there is no bite back. Mm-hmm. We have lost our way here. We are accepting handouts. This is not an original observation by me. I expect no credit for this. It's obvious. Everybody knows it. And the hypocrisy continues. I mean, above the fold, the New York Times supported this war.
Yeah.
Above the fold on page one.
Our time is up. Phil Donahue, thank you so much. Ellen Spiro, delighted to meet you. Body of War is the film. Go to bodyofwar.com. Thank you both.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Bells at Washington's National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, the largest Roman Catholic church in the country, ring out to celebrate Pope Benedict's coming to America. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts has the story.
At an arrival ceremony at Andrews Air Force Base late this afternoon, the President and Mrs. Bush gave a warm welcome to Pope Benedict XVI. But even before landing, the Pope made headlines during his flight from Rome, talking about the church sex abuse scandal.
It's difficult for me to understand how it was possible that priests betrayed in this way their mission to give healing, to give love of the God to these children. We are deeply ashamed, and we will do all the possible that this cannot happen in future.
An encouraging sign, say members of Voice of the Faithful, a victim support group.
Tomorrow, Benedict's 81st birthday, there's a formal arrival ceremony on the White House South Lawn, and the Pope and the President will have a private talk. Again today, the price of crude oil set a record, $113.79 a barrel.
The market thinks it's playing with monopoly money, but it's not. It's playing with everybody's money, and it's starting to really have some dire consequences. Not just here, but around the world.
Oil industry analyst Peter Butel sees no logic in these high prices, but they're driving up the cost of all commodities. And University of Maryland economics professor Peter Morisi says it's a real dilemma for the Fed.
This is a very difficult situation with the economy in a recession to be caught between booming commodity prices and a credit crunch, but that is the situation we find ourselves in.
This is Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. A new report says the median price of a Southern California home dropped 24% last month. At the end of March, the median price of a home was $385,000. A year ago, the median price for homes in Southern California was just over $500,000.
Nationwide, a report out today says home foreclosures rose 57% in the past year. Once again, the State Department faces problems staffing U.S. diplomatic outposts in war zones and warns that some people might be forced to go next year. CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson has more.
Spokesman Sean McCormick said that Secretary Rice is committed to filling vacancies in Iraq and Afghanistan, first by volunteers and, if necessary, by directed assignments. Rice had difficulty filling all of the open slots this year on a voluntary basis, but after exerting pressure on some officials, was able to fill the Baghdad embassy jobs with volunteers.
Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter has suffered a recurrence of cancer. His office says the 78-year-old Republican will resume chemotherapy for lymphoma, for Hodgkin's disease, but plans to continue his normal duties. Today on Wall Street, the Dow gained 60 points, closing at 12,362, the NASDAQ 10 points higher. This is CBS News.
As a small business owner, I do have a staff. Me, myself, and I. And we do it all. Fortunately, there's Sam's Club. For 25 years, Sam's Club has been providing businesses like ours the items crucial to our success and saving us money, which we can then put right back into our business. And from April 21st to the 25th, we can go to Sam's Club and take the invoice challenge for a chance to win a $100,000 small business makeover. No purchase necessary. Visit sbtv.com for details. Bring the staff.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
It was 61 years ago today that Jackie Robinson broke Major League Baseball's color barrier, and there's a report out on progress made since then. CBS News correspondent Peter King takes a look.
The racial and gender report card gives baseball an A- for race, a C+ for gender, and an overall B.
This is the best that baseball has done.
Dr. Richard Lapchick of the University of Central Florida is the lead author of the annual report, which shows just over 40% of last year's players were of color. There were more Latino and Asian players, fewer African Americans, just over 8%, less than half from a decade ago.
When you look at the high school and college level, the feeder systems or Babe Ruth or even Little League, percentage of African Americans playing the sport simply is not very high.
The report gives Major League Baseball an A+ for its diversity initiatives. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
From the International Space Station, astronaut Garrett Reisman will throw out the first ball for tomorrow night's New York Yankees-Boston Red Sox game. He's a Yankees fan. It's all done electronically. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
As a small business owner, I do have a staff. Me, myself, and I. And we do it all. Fortunately, there's Sam's Club. For 25 years, Sam's Club has been providing businesses like ours the items crucial to our success and saving us money, which we can then put right back into our business. And from April 21st to the 25th, we can go to Sam's Club and take the invoice challenge for a chance to win a $100,000 small business makeover. No purchase necessary. Visit sbtv.com for details. Bring the staff.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Right here for
April 15th, are you tax compliant? Well, you got a few hours to get that puppy in the mail. How it will be.
got one for you, 19 for me.
And we lost our station in Sacramento, but Arnold, if you're listening online or to a podcast, don't expect any extra coin from Peter B. this year, okay? I put in for a refund. And I don't think the Google millionaires, billionaires are going to bail you out this year either, Arnold. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone. Taxpayers are welcome to call in. Let me know your thoughts about filling out the forms this year or whether you're in line for a refund or had to scrape up money to send in to the government. Anything about taxes, you can call me about 888-5-PETER-B. Interesting comments from Phil Donahue, Ellen Spiro, and incredible Thomas Young last hour. And I hope you'll make a point of seeing Body of War when it's either on DVD or at a theater near you. And if you'd like to talk about that, perhaps you're one of my listeners who is an injured veteran of the war in Iraq or Afghanistan. I would honor you if you called. And anybody else who wants to talk about the issues raised by Donahue and Thomas Young and Ellen Spiro, I welcome your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. You know the number. It's 1-888-573-8372. We also talked with Jason Leopold about the admissions of responsibility all the way up to Bush, acknowledging that, yes, he knew about the committee of principals who were asked to review and approve every torture technique as it was applied. And he and Cheney and Rice and Rumsfeld and Powell, yes, Colin Powell comes out often as a good guy. But on this, he didn't express a dissenting view. The only remotely critical comments came from John Ashcroft, the Attorney General, who, well, I have to say that he looks just about this much better compared to Alberto Gonzalez and others in the administration, including Rice, who not only condoned the upending of our Constitution to permit torture, but cheered it on. Condoleezza Rice telling the CIA, "It's your baby." Trying to be one of the boys? Well, as we discussed with John in Carmel Valley a little while ago, it does appear that Condi Rice is not trying to angle to get on the Republican ticket this year, and we can all be grateful for that. A little bit later this hour, Scott Ritter is going to join us along with former U.S. Attorney, Federal Prosecutor Elizabeth De La Vega. Betsy, as she's known, De La Vega has been on our show many times, talking about the legal issues related to impeachment. She's brilliant, and I'm looking forward to talking with her again. So join me here in the Free Speech Zone. All the lines are open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. And I mentioned to Thomas Young last hour how infuriating it is that this nation should be talking about Bush's admission that he authorized torture. We should be talking about the next $100 billion that Petraeus and Crocker put in for the war in Iraq. The president, of course, said that Congress should deliver it with no strings or any other conditions attached. We should be talking about what appears to be at least a momentary victory for the Democrats in the House, that the efforts to amend the FISA law and grant immunity to the phone companies are stopped for the moment. And I heard John Conyers. Actually, I saw a quote in the newspaper from him where he was talking about the need to get conversations going again about the FISA bill. With all due respect, Mr. Chairman, don't initiate any further conversations about FISA. If the reform efforts are dead, leave them there, because we have an ugly precedent from the Senate, the Senate Democrats who have caved in and granted in their bill immunity to the telecoms. And any reopening of that conversation is going to be along the lines of the Senate bill. So I think it's very important that Democrats stand firm. And on this issue and on the Columbia trade deal, Democrats have shown some spine, have shown some determination, and they're making progress. So why won't they take it to the next step? Understanding that the majority of Americans are opposed to this war and want us to get out of Iraq as quickly as possible. The Democrats are afraid to take the step that is available to them. And it doesn't take 60 votes in the Senate. It takes one speaker to say, no, we will not permit a funding bill to exit the House Appropriations Committee. You're done, W. Go borrow some money from Halliburton to get the troops home. And now we hear talk, this came up on the show yesterday, talk in Washington of trying to make the Iraqis pay for the reconstruction of their country. I just think that certainly, you know, the surpluses that are reported by the Maliki government should be used to get the power back on, to get water flowing, to get sewage treatment going, to build a whatever they can of an agricultural economy. But the idea that we should be forcing the Iraqis to pay for the reconstruction was caused by our shock and awe invasion and occupation. I think it's kind of crazy, frankly. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join in here, lines are open in the free speech zone. And I do invite you to call. I'd like to hear from some of our regulars in Monterey and Eureka and Coos Bay. So get on the line and we can have a conversation here. 888-5 Peter B. Now, what is infuriating to me these days is that the important issues that I ticked off a moment ago are taking a back seat to the BS that is flying back and forth between the Clinton and Obama campaigns. And, you know, what Obama said in San Francisco is subject to criticism. But to describe people in Pennsylvania or elsewhere whose economies went south 25 years ago and have been neglected by Washington under presidents of both parties, I think it's a really fair comment. And Hillary and now McCain have seized upon the term bitter. And they accuse Obama of being an elitist, of talking down to people. And it is just entirely a crock, a created fiction, in my view. So yesterday I read you some poll results from this firm that's on the web at MediaCurves.com. It's called HCD Research and the Muhlenberg College Institute of Public Opinion. They did a poll just today of 400 self-identified Democrats and independents, and they asked them about their views of Hillary Clinton before they saw the latest campaign commercial that uses voices of people who appear to be real people, mostly women, criticizing Barack Obama for, you know, saying that they're bitter because of the economic downturn and that they cling to guns and God. So this is really interesting because, number one, the new commercial is only viewed as believable by 33% of the public overall, 68% of Clinton supporters. But here's what's very interesting. Here's what they asked people before they saw this commercial. What is your overall opinion of Hillary Clinton? Now, 36% of the people responded very favorable. That's the overall population. Among Clinton supporters, it was 69%. Not a surprise. Now, after they saw this new campaign commercial, the number in the general public doesn't move at all. It's still 36% very favorable. And among Clinton supporters, it only goes up 4 points. But the negatives do increase. For example, mostly unfavorable and very unfavorable of people before they saw the video was at 16 and 11%. Now it's at 16 and 16. So that's a bump up of 5% overall in people who are unfavorable or negative on Hillary Clinton. And among Obama supporters, that number jumped 11 points. So what this shows is that the Clinton attack is not really hitting home. It is driving up her negatives, and it is alienating Obama voters. And so if somehow Hillary Clinton gets the nomination, she will have to reach out again to Obama voters and hope to convert some of them, but the campaign tactics are clearly alienating people, and in particular, Obama supporters, and 4% of undecideds moved in a negative direction. Yeah, that's about right. Maybe 6% overall. So that's a look at the reaction so far to this dust-up. And again, I'm highly critical of the corporate media in this country, because when I watched television last night, Hardball and Olbermann, it was all about bitter and elite. And they're allowing the Clinton campaign to use this sideshow to change the subject. To change the subject from Columbia and from Tuzla and from the honesty and integrity of their candidate. Let me know what you think. It's a week from today that Pennsylvania goes to the polls, and that's critical for keeping the Clinton campaign alive. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. It's the Free Speech Zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick, because of my commitment to victims' rights, a safe community, and the orderly administration of justice. Ask yourself, what makes a good judge? It takes knowledge of the law, the system, a sense of fairness, and the ability to treat every case as unique as the person standing in the courtroom. Judges see hundreds of cases each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention, and I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I, Todd Hornick, have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Checking traffic on KRXA and quiet so far this afternoon. Heads up, Highway 9 south of Glengarry Road, a boulder reported in the roadway there. Northbound 101 at Laurel Drive, we're getting reports of a person panhandling on the off-ramp. That is causing traffic to back up in the area. CHP is on the way. Otherwise, Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all currently checking and stalling accident-free. Highway 17 southbound onto southbound 1 at Santa Cruz, seeing the everyday heavy traffic there. And southbound 101, slow traffic in stretches, leaving South San Jose heading down towards Gilroy. This traffic report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces.
About 10 minutes from now, Scott Ritter and Elizabeth De La Vega will join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls are welcome here at 888-5 Peter B. And Billy's in Capitola still.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
I can dig it. So, Peter, I must admit that I am an elitist.
Well, I'm bitter about that.
Well, don't be. You know, you're one of the people, though, that I think actually gets it. And that's part of, by the way, what it, for me, it means to be an elitist, is that I've had some vague understanding of what's really been going on in this country for a long time. And that's the sense in which I feel that the rest of America is a bit more of a sucker than I am.
All right, but who's calling who what here?
Yeah.
Number one, elitist is that whole concept and phrase comes out of the Karl Rove playbook. Number two, to argue, I mean, what do we base this on? How much money you have, who you hobnob with, who you've pardoned? I really just think that Hillary is pandering to the people, and this gets into politically incorrect thinking here, but I'll do it anyway. She's pandering to her base. And the exit polls show that in primary after primary, the less educated working class people have voted more for Hillary than Barack. And so she senses that people identify with her in that way, and she's trying to pander to that. But who is she kidding? Do we really want to delve into, for example, the origins of her husband's family? Are they elite? Or are they trailer trash? And what do we get out of this exchange that's meaningful to anybody, that gives somebody a job, that helps a family get back on its feet, helps somebody get health care, brings a soldier home? None of that occurs. This is just hot air and political rhetoric that's being fanned by the media because it's what passes for, you know, hot talk or, you know, controversy in this extended, protracted campaign.
You know, it's if you ever saw Western Pennsylvania and you know about steel mills and the like, these people want manufacturing jobs and there aren't any. And if they weren't bitter, there'd be something a little crazy about them.
Yeah.
But you know what? You said the word. You said the magic word. You said the word pardon. And that's the key to the mystery.
What, Mark Rich?
No. Why there hasn't been any investigation, you know, why impeachment is off the table. I got to whisper. I don't want anyone else to hear this.
Okay.
Why impeachment is off the table and why the investigations won't start is because the jerk, the president, he'd pardon everybody. So they're going to wait till it's too late for him to give those pardons and start all those investigations after he's gone so they can really get him. That could be the only answer I can come up with. What do you think?
Well, it doesn't work for me, Billy, because I don't think that they're serious. I think that John Conyers wants to conduct this thorough investigation and publish a book about the misdeeds of the Bush administration because Pelosi won't let him pursue impeachment. But I really think it'll be meaningless. And even though I like a lot of things about Barack Obama, my reading of him is that he will not pursue investigations into the past administration if he becomes our next president.
Yes, but maybe he'd assign someone as attorney general who would. I mean, because after all, one of the biggest crimes they committed is politicizing the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, I don't know how you phrase that as a crime, but it's a huge crime, in fact.
Well, it's a major conspiracy to control elections, to put pro-corporate judges on the courts, and to selectively prosecute
Democrats.
Selectively prosecuting Democrats. That is a crime, I think.
Yeah, I think it used to be. Thank you, Billy. Pete and Carmel, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, how are you doing, Peter B.?
Pretty good, Pete.
You know, something dawned on me, and just I decided to call you because I was listening to Donahue. You know what? I don't see any hard news shows anymore.
Because there aren't any, or because you've stopped watching?
No, because I don't think there are any. I mean, I regularly, when I was growing up, would see something on NBC, CBS, whatever, about something going on politically or whatever. I don't see that. Maybe I see that on Frontline.
Mm-hmm.
But all I see now is To Catch a Predator, or they do some true crime drama.
Right.
And that's about it. I don't think I see anything about mainstream politics anymore.
Well, you make a good point, because with this whole shift to the popularity of reality television, the infotainment shows have shifted in that direction. So instead of biting into the juicy scandals of the Bush administration, and there are many angles that reporters could take, even a tall guy with great hair like Chris Hansen, instead of entrapping people from the internet, you know, who thought they were going to get a date with a teenage girl, why don't you stake out, oh, Dick Cheney, or, you know, some of the Blackwater people who have profited from the ugly and obscene actions in Iraq. And instead, you know, they go for this kind of let's vote somebody off the island approach, and don't really provide us with any of the kind of journalism that we used to see. Now, 60 Minutes is still there, and some of the other networks do attempt some investigative reporting, but it's circumscribed in a way that, of course, avoids the most important issues that you and I would like to see coverage on. Pete, good point. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Ritter and Elizabeth De La Vega. Your calls are welcome for them in the next half hour at 888-5-PETER-B. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And like all antidotes, they should be applied liberally. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you at 888-5 Peter B. Ritter served our nation in the Marine Corps and then served the world as an inspector, a weapons inspector for the United Nations. And he joins us again on the program today. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Always nice to talk with you. Also with us is Elizabeth De La Vega. She's been on our program frequently. She served as a prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office in San Jose. And she wrote a book called United States versus George W. Bush et al. Elizabeth, or Betsy, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And you two are teamed up for an appearance this Sunday night, April 20th, at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley. It's just down the road from me, and I'm hoping to stop by and capture this. It's called Waging Peace, the Art of War for the Anti-War, a work in progress. Scott, what's the theme here? What can people expect if they come to the Throckmorton? And we have some other venues we'll mention a little later.
Well, from my perspective, I'll basically talk about the current situation in Iraq and the potential for conflict between the United States and Iran, and what's happening here at home in relation to this. I mean, we find ourselves, 5 years into a war that the overwhelming majority of the American public has expressed a negative attitude towards, and yet we're no closer to getting out of Iraq today than we were a year ago, and there is the real potential of armed conflict with Iran. I mean, is this a nation that is truly capable of waging peace, or are we only programmed to wage war? I think these are fair questions to ask.
Yeah. And earlier in the program today, Phil Donahue was here along with Thomas Young, an Iraq veteran who is paralyzed for life and who is the subject of this new documentary called Body of War. And with the veteran, Thomas, I was talking about how last week we had another dog and pony show from Petraeus and Crocker, a demand from the president for more than $100 billion more for the occupation of Iraq. And the media is
is giving us a sideshow now about bitter versus elite. And it's really obscene, in my view, that there are so many critical issues. And we have the president admitting on Friday that he authorized torture. And we're talking about how bitter Barack Obama said some voters in Pennsylvania are, and that makes him some kind of an elitist. And the real debate should be about the occupation, about the Constitution, and about the way this administration has ruined both. Elizabeth de la Vega, talk for a moment about this, because I believe that Dick Cheney's most recent arrogant expression, when he was asked, if he cares that most Americans are opposed to the war, he just said, so. And now we have Bush almost proud to acknowledge that he and his underlings authorized torture. At the basis of this, I say that the Democrats who took impeachment off the table have enabled this kind of arrogant behavior and a kind of unconscionable sense that these people feel they're untouchable.
Right. I think that's absolutely true. What we've had here is the most bizarre and absolutely disgraceful situation for so many years, where we know that this administration has been committing heinous acts, has been committing crimes that are really almost impossible even to recognize anymore. We can't even bring ourselves to look at the pictures of the torture, most of us. I can't. It's very difficult. And yet we know these things are going on day after day after day, and nothing is changing. And so essentially what we have are people committing serial crimes, and nothing is being done about it. And in just the same way that any serial criminal, if any serial criminal is allowed to get away with a crime spree, then that person will be emboldened and continue. And that is exactly what has happened here. So the difficulty from the point of view of citizens, I think, and I think it's, which is what is so important about what Scott is doing, is how do you maintain not just your interest, but your energy and your commitment to working towards this? Because I think what's so hard for people now is to think every day, how do I do something about this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been trying and trying and trying. I'm not speaking about myself, but as a citizen, we're trying and nothing is changing.
Well, and Scott's efforts, we've talked many times over the last year and a half or so about our mutual concerns about the posture toward Iran and the clear desire to launch some sort of a military attack to try to set back their military and their potential for developing a nuclear weapon. And, Scott, again, it amazes me that just the recent events, Petraeus and Crocker, the admission about torture, the John Yoo memos, these are all, dismissed from the front pages very quickly, and I think it emboldens the Bush administration to say, well, gosh, nobody's worried about all this crap we've done to date, so why don't we go ahead and double down and attack Iran? Media will probably go along with us.
Well, the media already has gone along with it. There's very little critical review of the policies of the Bush administration, especially when it comes to national security issues, and I'll put that in quotations, because much of which is wrapped in the cocoon of national security has nothing to do with national security. But, since 9/11, the American public, and indeed, their representatives in the legislative branch, the United States Congress, has gone brain dead on issues pertaining to the national security. It's as if they have accepted the posturing of the Bush administration when George W. Bush said, you're either with me or against me, thereby characterizing anybody who has the temerity to raise their hand and ask a question, which I need to remind everybody is the job of Congress. I mean, oversight of the executive is a task, a constitutionally mandated task of Congress. It's not unpatriotic to do so. In fact, it's the most patriotic expression that Congress can have, to hold to account, to ask the questions, to carry out the oversight. And yet what the president has done is say, if you dare ask a question, you're obviously against me, therefore you must be with them, them being this nefarious nebulous global terror network that the Bush administration has jacked into place to replace the evil empire of the Soviet Union as the focus of effort of our nation. It's stunning how little investigation is actually done by the media or by Congress. And again, what I say is, you know, we can blame the media, and I share many people's criticism of the mainstream media. We can blame Congress, but ultimately we have to blame ourselves.
Yep.
Of course, maybe not you and I and Elizabeth and other listeners, but there's 300 million Americans who have yet to show the level of intellectual curiosity that's required for, you know, the status of citizen of the United States. And, you know, the media feeds a consumer base, and right now the consumer base seems more inclined to demand American Idol than it is to demand in-depth investigations of the Bush administration's policies.
And they're happy to give it to you with lots of Toyota commercials, and they're making money, and they think that they're giving us what we want.
Absolutely, and, you know, and for the most part, they are giving us what we want. I mean, there are surprisingly few Americans who are, you know, out there demanding high-quality news reporting. The excuse I hear from people I call my friends is, my life is too complicated. I have too much on the table. I don't have time to dig into this. And so if there's not a hue and cry, you know, the media is run by advertising dollars that are based upon viewership. And, you know, if the Americans are going to tune into American Idol, that's what the business of the media is going to give them.
Mm-hmm. That's Scott Ritter, the former U.N. weapons inspector. He is on the road, appearing this Sunday, April 20th, at the Throckmorton Theater. That's 142 Throckmorton in Mill Valley. Elizabeth De La Vega, the former federal prosecutor, will be appearing with him at that venue. Then Monday, April 21st, 7:30 p.m. at the Varsity Theater in Davis. And then the following night, Tuesday, April 22nd, in Los Angeles at the Hayworth Theater. And my friend Roy Zimmerman is going to be opening up for you with his musical satire, and Stephanie Miller, very popular progressive talk show host with a morning show in L.A. She is going to be there at the reception as well. And then there's one more event at the Hayworth Theater the following night, also at 8 p.m., with my friend Jason Leopold, who was just on the program with us earlier today. And Jason's done a lot of great reporting on many of these issues, so Scott, I think you're going to find that a great matchup for you. People can get full information at the website ustourofduty.org. No dots there, just ustourofduty.org. Well, there's the one. You got it. ustourofduty.org. And Elizabeth De La Vega, I want to ask you about what is one of the few bright spots in politics right now, and that is, for the moment, it appears that the Democrats have held off the assault of the Republicans and the cave-in of the Senate Democrats, and those in the House appear to have prevailed for the moment in blocking a FISA bill amendment or reform that would immunize the telecom companies for what's euphemized as warrantless wiretapping. I call it illegal domestic surveillance. And John Boehner, the Republican leader in the House, has said that he's going to focus on other issues. Now, I don't think it's completely dead, but for the moment, it does appear the Democrats have prevailed.
It does. And equally encouraging is that the Democrats seem to be eagerly going after Michael Mukasey with regard to his comments claiming that there was some kind of a call from a safe house in Afghanistan to the United States, which they were unable to track or record prior to 9/11. And I noticed that just recently they wrote a letter back to him when he gave a response, kind of spinning it again. And they're going after him, and I'm wondering if Mukasey's misspeaking, which I think was actually just a fabrication, is causing them to be on the run a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and explicitly he has claimed that it was the FISA law that prevented this call from being intercepted, when in fact it was intercepted, but the NSA didn't know what to do with it, or the people there didn't make the right decisions, but the information was not passed along. And so this is a far cry from some sort of anecdote that supports the administration's position.
Right, absolutely the opposite. He kind of changed the facts, but I think what he was talking about was a call that was made to the hijackers who were living in San Diego, and it's absolutely true. The NSA had the information, but they didn't pass it along, and therefore there was no follow-up, and those two hijackers were allowed to come back into the country. So, when the NSA director testified in front of Congress in 2002, he said that this was a failure on our part. He actually admitted that. It's been kind of lost in the shuffle along the way, but he said that the problem was we had too much information. And this is something I've written about before, which is that all these ideas of scooping up all of this information is really absurd because they can't deal with the information they have now. The FBI in particular notoriously has no ability to go onto a computer and find out what an agency or an agent knows in Peoria.
Are you referring to their state-of-the-art Radio Shack computers from 1980?
Oh, right. They're fabulous. And I know from personal experience that the way FBI agents happen to find out about something going on in another district is purely by chance. If they know somebody there, if somebody remembers something. And that is the problem. The problem is coordination.
We're going to take a break and return. That's Elizabeth de la Vega, along with Scott Ritter. They're appearing on Sunday night, April 20th, the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, California. And you can get full information on the web at ustourofduty.org. If you want to call in, do it now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue, because it's my job, the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA and quiet so far this afternoon. Heads up, Highway 9 south of Glengarry Road, a boulder reported in the roadway there. Northbound 101 at Laurel Drive, we're getting reports of a person panhandling on the off-ramp. That is causing traffic to back up in the area. CHP is on the way. Otherwise, Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all currently checking in, still on accident-free. Highway 17 southbound onto southbound 1 at Santa Cruz, seeing the everyday heavy traffic there. And southbound 101, slow traffic in stretches, leaving South San Jose heading down towards Gilroy. This traffic report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, you.
It's the Peter B. Show.
And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why you,
And he's trying to beat up Popeye, and he ends up pummeling himself. And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. It's the war on terror.
Yes, we is pummeling ourselves.
There's this old joke where a guy is walking home late at night. He sees another guy under a streetlight, searching frantically in the gutter. He says, hey man, what did you lose? The guy says, I dropped my keys about six blocks away. Why aren't you looking over there? Guy says the light's better over here.
And that
is the war on terror. That is the war on terror.
And that is Roy Zimmerman, royzimmerman.com. You can get the downloads and all the information. And Roy's going to be performing at the Hayworth Theater when kind of an opening act for Scott Ritter. That's April 22nd, a week from today, Tuesday, April 22nd, the Hayworth Theater in Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller will be there as well. And Scott Ritter, have you experienced Roy Zimmerman before?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I was listening to that song with great interest. I love it when, I mean, you know, when you, the anti-war movement is, you know, continuously struggling on how to package itself so that it can compete with the consumerist, you know, the consumerism of mainstream media. And, you know, when you get someone like Roy Zimmerman who writes entertaining yet insightful songs, I just think it's brilliant because, you know, that's one of the things we need to do is find ways to, you know, package, you know, a message. And his music definitely does that.
Well, give him a request for Chicken Hawk. You'll enjoy that one. And
okay.
Also, he does an Elvis-style thing called Hello, NSA, where he says, because you listen, you really listen. So I think you'll get a kick out of that. And get him an autograph, a CD for you, okay?
I will, definitely.
Yeah. And I'll make sure I'm going to see him tomorrow, so I'll let him know that you guys are teamed up, and I hope that's a great event. And Elizabeth De La Vega, at the Mill Valley Show, you're going to bring your guitar and your tap shoes?
Yes, I will, and I'll do the Charleston.
Oh, great.
Scott has to do it with me, though.
Yeah.
Well, there goes the house.
And, Scott, are you musical at all? Harmonica, comb?
absolutely not. I'm best hidden in the shadows when it comes to music.
Okay. Scott, I want to ask you what you view as our current posture toward Iran. You and I have talked many times over the last couple of years. We've been very vigilant about this. And the signals that I see indicate that Bush and Cheney have not given up on some sort of military attack on Iran. And the recent suggestions after the peace tour that Cheney took, including a hand-holding stop in Saudi Arabia, where the word after he left was that he had told them to train for duck and cover because they might be in the overfly zone of a nuclear exchange.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how to read what Cheney said. Another way to look at it is that the United States plans on taking out the reactor at Bushehr, and given prevailing wind, there's a chance for fallout to drift across into Saudi Arabia, and that the Saudis should be prepared for that. I think what we need to point out, though, is that far from distancing themselves from military action against Iran. The Bush administration seems to be rushing to embrace it. You know, you have the visit of Dick Cheney, which all but told the region to prepare for war. And you have the testimony of Petraeus and Crocker before Congress, in which they basically say our number one enemy in Iraq is Iran. And the president then calls the Iranians criminals who will be dealt with. This is not the language of diplomatic engagement. This is the language of war. And never forget that Congress has facilitated this war on any number of occasions, but most significantly in this regard, by passing the United States Senate a resolution that labels the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Command as a terrorist organization. And so the president pretty much has carte blanche to attack Iran anytime he wants. And I also tell people that, you know, you have to look for the indirect indicators, such as emergency spending to purchase the massive ordnance penetrator, the gigantic bombs built specifically to take out Iranian targets. April was the delivery date. The modification, again, a rush emergency spending of the B-2 bomber to carry the massive ordnance penetrator. April, the delivery date. The modification of hangars in the region in Oman and Diego Garcia to handle the B-2 and the massive ordnance penetrator. April is the finish date. And topping off the national emergency oil stockpile, April. All indicators are that the Bush administration is preparing itself for conflict in the near future. And I just wish that in this time of national politics that this would be a topic that people would focus on.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a part of the debate. Elizabeth De La Vega, just in 30 seconds, what recourse do we have for prosecuting Bush and his cronies after they leave office?
Boy, well,